out about one thing in 2020, and it's not the fly on Mike Pence's head. It's something a little more serious. Police brutality. Kind of sounds like a cocktail you would order in a Manhattan club. Police brutality served with an olive and a little bit of lime juice. An interesting concoction for an intense year. But I'm serious about this. Police everywhere in the country are being blamed for attacking innocent people, especially unarmed Black people. Who would have known that mutations in the gene pool of the race of Black people would be so common? Why are they born without arms? I don't know. But this is a very serious topic, police brutality. Everybody wants it to end, but it doesn't seem like it's going anywhere. Journalists are getting attacked. Black people are getting attacked. And believe it or not, so is every other race. We're going to be talking about that and a lot more coming up on today's show. Slightly Offensive, the best, worst show on Blaze TV with your favorite host, me, Elijah Schaefer. Let's talk about this. Is police brutality justified? And I ask that question because I wonder if at the cost of ending the brutality, what do we get in its place? Sometimes I would like to argue that police brutality in and of itself may be a necessary evil that we just have to live with, believe it or not. And we know why, because of our good friend, Mr. Kyle Rittenhouse, a name that can get you banned, almost as banned as perhaps quoting a true story about Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, smoking crack with some hoes. Yes, a couple $1 million from the Chinese and the Russians should get you at least like some pure Colombian cocaine. I mean, gosh, if I had that kind of money, I'd be doing a lot more than smoking street crack. We know he hangs out with some serious pimps. But I'll tell you this, Mr. Rittenhouse is currently facing trial for, we know, killing two people and injuring a third in what many argue was self-defense and others say was a form of vigilante justice. And we see the world that would happen if we got rid of police. Before we jump into today's story and go any further, I would like to give a huge shout out to Black Rifle Coffee Company, the best cup of coffee in America. This is something that you must understand. Not only will make you have the brightest and the best morning possible, but if you go to blackriflecoffee.com/offensive right now, you can find out how to get 20% off your first order of the Freedom Loving Roast. It comes in whole bean, in ground roast. It comes in coffee rounds for your Keurig, which is what I prefer. And it also comes in cans when you're on the go. Anyway, go to blackriflecoffee.com/offensive right now and check out their coffee club, which basically gets whatever you want shipped to your home or office every single month at the same time. Use my code in the description. It helps us help them help veterans because it's a veteran-owned, veteran-operated company. And find out why Slightly Offensive, myself, people that come here, enjoy it. Even my new producer was like, why have I not been drinking this stuff? Don't be like my producer. Be a better person, which is not that hard. Go to blackriflecoffee.com/offensive now. Find out how to get 20% off your first order plus free shipping and join the coffee club. Anyway, let's jump into this story for today. So police brutality. Is it justified? And how do we get rid of it? Well, let's talk about if we got rid of police brutality, the only way to actually get rid of this and to stop people from ever either accidentally or intentionally exerting or overusing their force would either A, require killing all people, which sounds like a good option when you're sitting in traffic, really, truly. But for the rest of us, you have to understand that that's not a reality. I know there's somebody out there you want to kill. You're a bad person. I'm not. I like people. But we know somebody who did kill someone, Kyle Rittenhouse. This is an example of vigilante justice. Now, the left has freaked out, said that Kyle is an insane murderer. How, in fact, have we ever come to a position where a man could defend himself when there's insane leftist child molesters and sex offenders and assaulters out there? I mean, who would have ever thought that a 17-year-old kid with a little pew, pew, pew could take down a couple people with a skateboard? Well, let's give an update on what happens with vigilante justice. Apparently, it's actually quite effective. Kyle Rittenhouse was left to defend a city when police could no longer defend it in Kenosha. And let's jump into an update on his story for those of you guys that have been following. Well, first of all, a report came in from Blaze. You should always check out theblaze.com. A Wisconsin man admits to firing the first shots on the night of the Kyle Rittenhouse shooting. So as we talked about this, many people say that vigilante justice was served that night. Kyle Rittenhouse should not have been out, and he should have left the protection of the city of Kenosha to police. Well, it turns out when police aren't around, people will protect their city, and it actually looks like perhaps Kyle wasn't a white supremacist like Joe Biden mentioned. We get into this that according to a criminal complaint obtained by the New York Post, who was suspended, by the way, they have been around for over 200 years, a newspaper started by Mr. Hamilton, but they get suspended for actually reporting the news. A Wisconsin man has been charged by Wisconsin authorities with multiple crimes after he reportedly admitted to having fired the first shot of a number of fateful shots that rang out in Kenosha, Wisconsin on the night of August 25th. According to the Post, 35-year-old Wisconsin native Joshua Zeminski and his wife both admitted to detectives that Zeminski fired a warning shot. Bad wife. Baby, if you're watching this, and I fired the first shot at a far-left riot that meant to burn down a city, and you admitted it, the pigs, there's a second shot coming. No, I'm just kidding. I would never be there doing anything other than reporting. But his wife ratted on him. She's a rat. Talk about Tekashi 6ix9ine and his wife have a lot in common. He fired a warning shot into the air immediately before Rittenhouse allegedly, which he did, allegedly shot and killed Joseph Rosenbaum during a tense night of protests. The detectives are the same detectives who have been in charge of investigating the Rittenhouse's activities on the evening. So it comes out to the fact that if the police are not around, if we dissolve the police, if they are not available, as they weren't, as you remember, I was there in Kenosha, we get more Kyle Rittenhouses. And Kyle Rittenhouse responded to criminal activity, a first shot, as we reported here before anybody was acknowledging that. You find out the fact that, you know, hey, when guns are fired, it's best probably to leave it up to the police, or else you'll probably have 100% chance of getting shot. Another update on the Rittenhouse shooting, just to let you know, is that, where is this? I don't even know. I don't even have it here. Oh, there it is. Kyle Rittenhouse accused a Kenosha killer, or self-defender, as I like to call him, or American hero. Who would have known? Won't face gun charges in Illinois. I want to read you a tweet from his lawyer. Kyle did not carry a gun across state lines. The gun belonged to his friend, a Wisconsin resident. The gun never left the state of Wisconsin. Truth always prevails. So when we look at this idea of police brutality, we come to this conclusion that when people feel like they cannot call upon the police and that they're not around, as many people suggest, we defund the police, their options are, well, call up a Rittenhouse, 1-800-RITTENHOUSE. I'll tell you this, it's a lot of numbers, but it only takes three shots. And you can take a shot to that one. That's one option. Number two, as we heard tonight, Biden talked about the need. Joe Biden at his town hall, I don't know if you were watching it. I don't know if anybody was watching it. From my understanding, he extended his town hall past the end of when Trump ended his town hall so that somebody would watch it, which is like a totally great thing. That's to say, like, maybe you're an ugly girl and you can't help it. And you say, men are always looking at the hot girl. Why don't you just stick around after the hot girl leaves? Then you're the last one left. Wise choice. Then you become that. He says that we should have social workers. Let's listen to what he had to say.
Beyond that, you have to teach people how to de-escalate circumstances. De-escalate. So instead of anybody coming at you and the first thing you do is shoot to kill, you shoot them in the leg. There's ways you have to do more background checks in terms of whether or not the person coming in passes a certain psychological test. And the last thing I'll say, and I'm sorry, because it's really, I think, really, really important, is you have to be in a position where you are able to identify the things that have to change. And one of the things that has to change is so many cops get called into circumstances where somebody is mentally off, like what happened not long ago with that guy with the knife. That's why we have to provide within police departments psychologists and social workers to go out with the cops on those calls, those some of those 911 calls, to de-escalate the circumstance.
Yeah, and he talked a little bit about, oh, you know, people have like the knife of that one man. I'm sure he's referencing the Lancaster riots in Philadelphia. Now, what's really interesting, well, technically not Philadelphia, in Pennsylvania, right outside of Philadelphia. You know, this was a riot that drew from Lives Matter, and I broke. We were first ones on the scene, the initial reporters that brought this to light. What happened was, I believe there was a man by the name of Mr. Munoz. Never forget that guy. I believe his name was Ricardo Munoz. He looked like the spawn of Satan, and he's deceased now, so he may very well be with him. But I hope he was mentally ill and that he's not with the devil. But gosh, what a scary-looking individual. I mean, I want to remind you that this individual that we're talking about, this article comes from the New York Post. This is the article of, I mean, the publication of the week. It says, before Ricardo Munoz, 27, made the fatal decision to rush a cop while waving a knife on Sunday, he was charged with stabbing or slashing two men, a woman, and a 16-year-old boy in and near a Lancaster home in March of last year. So what we have is a man with a history of physical violence, deadly violence, I would say violence with intent to kill, who is in a place and he is breaking into what appeared to be his mother's home. And who do you call? First of all, I would say possibly the Ghostbusters, because this man literally looks like he came from the undead. But what you really call is who? The police. Now, people suggest, like Biden, maybe we should have called a social worker, because it turns out the man was autistic. I've known people with autism. In fact, probably some of you guys have autism. And I'll be happy to answer your call. But if you have a knife, whether you're autistic or you have no disorders at all, I'm not answering your call. In fact, I'm going to do what the mom did. I'm going to call the police on you. Because like the man in Lancaster, as you're looking out on the screen, you might very well charge me with the knife, which is absolute insanity. And so what we have to realize is what's important here is that people say, oh, well, the police officer used deadly force. This is brutality. The guy was autistic. No, the police officer used the first rule of action before you use force. He created space between himself and the assailant. The assailant continued to approach in on him with a knife. And that knife being and creating a smaller and smaller distance by the free will and choice of Mr. Munoz then gives the officer the right to shoot him. You're autistic, you don't get a free pass. In fact, you're probably better at math than me. That might be a reductionist statement, but hey, I'll take it. But I will say this. What would a social worker have done in this situation, right? What would Kyle Rittenhouse have done in this situation? I don't know, but it probably would have been at least a little worse of a situation if police had not been available. Let's also talk about another reason. We talk about getting rid of the police, if that's actually a good idea. So number one, we say we have vigilante justice. Well, everyone complains about when vigilantes take to the streets. Number two, you say, well, what about social workers? Well, I see too many situations where social workers would have been killed. But if we get rid of police brutality and therefore get rid of police, let's talk about two important killings that happened last year. The Dayton, Ohio shooting, which many of you guys know, 9 were killed, 27 were injured by Antifa. And we can also talk about another important killing in El Paso, which you probably heard in Texas, where 22 people were killed by somebody who was an avowed white supremacist. So let's break this down. If police are not available, let's talk about mass shootings, which people are very concerned about, and rightly so. I don't want to die in a mass shooting, and maybe you know someone who has. I've seen a few people get shot in my life. Well, in El Paso, all we heard about is white supremacy, stop white supremacy, stop and, you know, giving out guns and whatever people make up these days. Well, you know, it took police a while to respond to that shooting, which took place in a Walmart, and a lot of people were killed. But let's talk about the Dayton, Ohio shooting, where Antifa, self-avowed socialist and anti-fascist member or follower, killed 9 people. Now, what's really important about this is police were already on the scene and killed him within the first 32 seconds with a shot. And so with an array of shots. And the footage is quite graphic, and so it's probably blurred, or you see whatever image you're seeing is probably not okay. But when we look at the fact that, you know, if ending police brutality means defunding the police, getting rid of the police, the options against getting hit with a little Billy Boy club aren't exactly perfect as an alternative. That's what I want to talk about, which is why I want to remind you that, as I mentioned, as going to the Lancaster riots, do you guys know that I have a favorite underwear, this the official underwear of Slightly Offensive, and the official wedgie-free, crotch-breathing, non-butt-grabbing underwear of Riots. It's called Tommy John. If you go to TommyJohn.com/offensive, I want you to find out what is the best situation for your family jewels. And believe it or not, if you're a woman and you don't have family jewels, I haven't worn the woman's underwear. If I did, I wouldn't tell you. Maybe I'm freaky. Maybe I'm not. But I'll tell you this, you can buy them today for yourself or for your wife, and they are amazing. I actually did buy a bralette for my wife. She absolutely loves it. I have pajamas. I have under t-shirts. It's basically like the softest, smoothest, best undergarments you could possibly buy for your money. But also, what better thing to protect than your community than the very parts of your body that can create future generations? Anyway, find out why they're the official underwear of Slightly Offensive and the best wedgie-free, non-ride underwear for riots. Go to TommyJohn.com/offensive. Find out how to get 15% off your underwear and your entire order. It's absolutely amazing. Let's jump back into police brutality. So obviously we've talked a little bit about the fact that police brutality may not be able to be diminished entirely because the options are pretty grim otherwise. But when is it justified? I want to talk to you about a couple situations here specifically that have happened to a few friends of mine. So some friends of mine, Richie McGinnis and Shelby Talcott from the Daily Caller, and Brandon, how do you even say his name? Brandon Gutenschwager. Hell yeah. I don't know how to say it, but it sounds cool. And it sounds like people of his ancestry may have started a couple world wars. Let's just throw that one under the rug. They were brutalized by police while covering some riots that had happened recently in response to Breonna Taylor pulled out of a car and beaten. Let's go ahead and roll the footage. Okay, so basically what you're seeing here is these journalists were pulled out of their car while they were recording an event. Now, what's important is that these individuals that were arrested by the police, two of them had congressional press license. And you have to realize that when you see idiots and people that are being attacked by the police, you go, well, is police brutality ever justified? Is it a requirement? I guess it's unavoidable is the answer. But is it okay for the police to attack the press? That's a question I want to ask. Now, Brandon actually has some sort of brain injury from this. He's been in the hospital. Shelby and Richie were pretty messed up, pretty upset. They have actually also, Shelby and Brandon have both been in jail at this point, I think multiple times now, getting arrested for while covering these events. I got to tell you, well, I don't like the fact that the police attack the press. I don't think that it's a good idea, but I do understand why they have been less tolerant of people who claim to be press as of lately. Number one, it's because there's so much fake press out there who continues to use not only fake credentials, but they also continue to just have no credentials and walk around with arts and crafts on their chest that they made at their local anti-fascist bookstore, putting their pronouns on their flak jackets, telling police, oh, you can't kick me out past curfew because I'm press. And then they throw bottles of pee, they throw bottles of poop, which is like also weird. Why does the press have bottles of pee and poop? I don't know. In fact, those bottles of pee and poop are probably the closest things to something of substance that comes out of their work, because at least it creates a real news story and it's not some fabricated anti-police message. But on top of that, I want to remind you that the press is in the mainstream media often follows the anti-fascist handbook and the rule books, which ask and tell people that the best way to vouch and defend anti-fascist, the BLM, the Socialist Democrats of America and the far left, is to fail to film the crimes of the people and instead point your cameras at the cops and try to incriminate them. Now, if you type in on YouTube, basically the attacks of Portland Antifa on press, you actually just find a bunch of videos from the corporate media filming the police launching tear gas on people. And the fact that the media continually just likes to frame and film the police and get in the way and try to incriminate them, I get why the police get frustrated with the press and are shorthanded with them, but it's also illegal. I just want to remind you that. And just because I, in general, support law enforcement officers, cut it out. Stop attacking the press. It's not okay. And it's not right. It's time to cut that out. Stop hitting my friends, please. And also stop hitting people without arms. It's just a thought. Just a thought. Let's talk about the unpopular opinion here on police brutality, though, and why it's sometimes warranted or not. Number one, sometimes police brutality is warranted because people are just too aggressive with police. A good example of that would be even a right winger in the Denver shooting that just took place where a Trump supporter was killed. When someone is armed and they have the potential to hurt you, do not agitate them. You are an idiot for intentionally trying to agitate people. Now, while I do not believe it was right for the security guard from 9 News to shoot and kill the Trump supporter, if you're not following that story, you should watch our last episode. You know, he did say, get the cameras out of here. I'm going to F you up to the 9 News. And he did have a can of bear mace. Now, I don't know about you, but if I have bear mace and someone has a gun, I'm not going to yell at them or even slap them in the face. And this is a real unpopular opinion. I want to say this. A lot of Trump supporters at events are just too aggressive. I've seen people out there. They start fights. They push people. And I get it. You're angry. You're mad. You feel like you've been pushed down. Like nobody cares about you. That you get stepped on. And that there is a pass for the left wing to be violent, but the right doesn't have that same pass. That's true. But that doesn't give us the right to intentionally get aggressive with anti-fascists, Antifa, or whatever they're calling themselves. Homosexuals, pansexuals. I don't know. I'm going to say this, though, that what's really interesting here is that the reason why this specifically wasn't warranted is because, unlike the Lancaster shooting, the security guard did not create space between him and the, I would say the aggravating individual that was a Trump supporter. If you'll notice from the shots, essentially what happened was is that there was a slap to the face of the security guard, and the security guard just pulled out his gun and shot the Trump supporter while the Trump supporter pulled back and created space. A lot of people wonder, well, why couldn't the Trump supporter have been killed? He had bare mace. He slapped the man in the face. I know that a lot of people on the right want to find justifications for self-defense and use of force. But legally speaking, because the man slapped him and then made distance, the security guard had no legal right to shoot and kill him. And whether you like that or not, that's the legal justifications for stand your ground and use of force in this case. I also want to say this, that while some people are too aggressive on the right, sometimes police are also just on a power trip in general. And I say that people on the right are aggressive because even when I'm reporting, I get kind of aggressive with police sometimes. I'll be like, dude, chill, come on. And I'm like kind of getting past them to get shots. And they hit me and they really do attack me. But when we saw in that footage of BG on the scene getting ripped out of the car and I would say brutalized by police, I mean, when he's saying he's pressed, he's not committing a crime and he's clearly not doing anything like intentionally wrong to completely like just rip someone out of a car and throw them onto the ground is a very much overreaction. And I know some law enforcement officers, some people will respond to this that I'm, just have an unfair judgment of what was going on. But I'm going to tell you this. I've dealt with police. I've dealt with very good officers, a few bad officers, and those bad officers have genuinely done some things that I am not proud to have witnessed, which includes breaking the leg of a young man in Boston during a protest by hitting him with the hardest force I've seen a police officer hit a man. Now, I'm going to bring this in there saying this, though. I understand why a lot of police officers get rough with these people. You don't know what weapons they're holding. You can't predict how they're going to respond. And they're also sometimes very, very small. Why are these protesters so weak? You know, with like, I swear, put a little spaghetti sauce on them and bam, you have yourself a bowl of noodles with those arms. Very, very small. Very, very pitiable. I really, really, really think these men need to just hit the gym. But they can't because they live in cities where the gyms are shut down. But I will say this, lastly, speaking of talking, before I talk about the over-aggression of sometimes the Trump supporters to the left, and I've seen it at too many events, you guys, just be chill. Win with arguments, win with words, not with beating people up. And there's always someone in the comments that goes, I'm done talking. Let's kill these people. All right. Have fun doing that. Have fun. It's not the time to do that right now, okay? Not the time to be killing people. Self-defense, sure. Killing people? And we're not there yet. So try not doing it and actually just don't. But some people do just need a beating. And this is a point I have to make. Some people just need the living snot beat out of them because they didn't get hit as a kid. And a lot of these left-wing individuals who are hyper-aggressive but have little tiny arms, the size of an ankle, you know, the arms are just so small. It's quite impressive. It's like, how do they get that size? A lot of these individuals and people that accost the police and attack the police really don't know what it means to have an authority figure put you in your place. And I think it's about time that people start realizing that not all cases of police force are police brutality. Just because the police uses force or even excessive force doesn't mean they're being brutal. Some of you deserve it. You really do. I watch you, you little piece of SHIT. I really do. I see you out there and you guys, you know, move and you throw things at police and someone just needs to clock you in the face. Maybe it's illegal. I don't know. But you know what? There's a difference between immoral and illegal. Remember, you can kill your kid in the womb. That's still immoral and absolutely wrong. And you can accost a police officer and maybe isn't supposed to strike you, but you deserved it. You deserved it. And I think it's about time that some of these kids learned a lesson that there's pushback for the consequences for what they're doing. I don't promote people attacking police. I don't like it when police attack people. But we can see that the qualifications of what happens when ultimately, first and foremost, police are not present are worse than if they are. So then we have to deal with some level of brutality. We talked about the fact that not all force is justified. Sometimes people are killed in ways that should be criminally prosecuted. Sometimes the press are attacked in ways that just don't make sense. But I do understand why it happens, because police have a very difficult job. In fact, all law enforcement do. But lastly, we bring up the fact that, you know, in all of these situations, it's not just police who are brutal. Sometimes right-wingers are excessive in their force. Sometimes left-wingers, or often left-wingers, are excessive in their force. But most importantly, in those times of brutality, some people deserve it, others people do not. But for what I've seen with my own eyes, sometimes I love seeing certain people just get socked in the face and put in their place before they have a chance to hurt more people. If you guys make it this far in the show, I want to remind you, please subscribe to the show. It's so important that you continue to leave us, hit that button and hit that bell, get our updates every day. You know, people hit us up every day reminding us that they're unsubscribed 4 or 5. Someone even wrote me the other day, they got unsubscribed for the 10th time. Please check that you're subscribed. Hit that button, turn on the bell to receive our reports. If you're already subscribed or you're watching another platform, go ahead and there's a free way you can support the show. Go to Apple iTunes or to Spotify. Follow us. Leave us a 5-star review. The more 5-star reviews we get, the more money I get. No, I'm just kidding. We don't actually get any money for 5-star reviews, but what it does do is it helps our advertisers. It helps the people that follow us realize that we're growing, that gives us feedback on the show. And ultimately, it helps me to know what you're thinking and how, what you like, what you don't like. But anyway, just tell us what you like only and give us a 5-star review. I love that. I love biased reviews that are ultimately positive. Anyway, thank you guys so much again for watching. My name is Elijah Schaefer of Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV. Remember that you can find all of our videos, no matter if they get censored, taken off, or we get deplatformed, on blazetv.com/Elijah. You can use my code to sign up. It is the easiest and quickest way to support us. Thank you so much again for watching. Have a great rest of the week, and may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.